Section 6. The Possibility of Aramaic Sources. This is also why we cannot make any headway arguing that Luke had source material for the speeches in Acts, because a greater preponderance of so-called Semitisms are found in them than in the narrative sections, which is to say, idioms, grammar, and vocabulary more distinctive of the Greek spoken by Hellenized Jews, like Luke himself may have been, or translated from Hebrew or Aramaic. On the one hand, this information is of little use, since it cannot be determined which is occurring. Are the Semitisms just how Luke writes in his own dialect, or do they reflect his use of a source? Nor does either make the historicity of the speeches any more likely, since fictional speeches can be composed just as easily in Aramaic as in Greek. And even supposing these Semitisms indicate the use of a source, we cannot determine whether that source was in Aramaic, for example, or was simply an original composition by another author in a Semitized Greek, which could again be just as fictional. On the other hand, Semitisms can also be an effect of a greater reliance on the Septuagint, a text already written in a highly Semitized Greek. For example, when composing speeches, where more extensive and more frequent allusions to and quotations of scripture are expected, even if the speeches are entirely composed by the same author writing the narrative sections. For example, the very first speech in Acts, in which Peter implausibly persuades thousands of Jews to become Christians in a single day, Acts 2, verse 41, is sometimes offered as a good example of the concept of being in a more Semitized Greek than the surrounding narrative, and yet in it Peter quotes not the Hebrew Bible or an Aramaic Targum, but the Greek Septuagint, verbatim. The most crucial part of his speech turns on his interpretation of Psalm 16, verses 9 to 10 in Acts 2, verses 26 to 31. But instead of quoting the Hebrew original, he gives a verbatim quote of the Septuagint. Psalms 16, verse 10 is word for word identical between Acts and the Septuagint, and Psalms 16, verse 9 is also identical in every word, with only a few insignificant changes of order. In reality, Peter would hardly attempt to persuade Jews in Jerusalem by haranguing them in Greek, much less succeed at it, and he certainly wouldn't have persuaded many of them by appealing to a Greek translation of the Bible rather than the original Hebrew text. No, this is Luke's construction of the speech. Luke is using the Septuagint to build the quotes in Peter's argument. That destroys any hope of recovering what Peter might have originally said, even if Luke somehow had some source for it. Finally, as D.F. Payne says, quote, Luke's indebtedness to the Septuagint was profound, but it was by no means his only influence. Other Old Testament textual traditions were known to him, Semitic idioms common in the contemporary church also affected his diction, and there is no good reason to doubt that he had access to traditions or documents couched in or translated from a Semitic language. However, such Semitic elements in Luke's writing must not be pressed to support conclusions which they will not bear. Hedley Sparks emphasizes, after analysis of his specimen passages, that Lucanisms surround the Semitisms. Mac Wilcox, too, on the basis of his more full analysis, asserts that his survey shows that in almost every case, the material in which they, the hardcore Semitisms, are embedded has a strongly Lucan stamp. End quote. In other words, even where Semitisms appear in greater abundance, those sections also show unmistakable evidence of distinctly Lucan style, which means Luke has completely reworked any sources he may have used, deleting, changing, and adding to them as he pleased. We therefore cannot know what any sources he may have used actually said. For all we know, Luke may have taken a mythicist speech collection, such as I just argued for Paul's trial speeches, and added historicist flourishes to it. Since we have abundantly demonstrated that Acts was literarily crafted and much of its content freely invented by Luke, and Luke was certainly interested in promoting historicity, Acts' reliability for demonstrating the historicity of Jesus is essentially non-existent.